As we remain standing, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Last week we began a sermon series looking at God's good purposes for time. And this week we're looking at work as a very basic and godly purpose for time. As we talked about last week, the opening chapters of Genesis reveal a God who is a worker. Or as preacher Tim Keller says, Genesis introduces us to a God who has dirt under his fingernails. Isn't that a great illustration? God has dirt under his fingernails. And as God's creatures, made in God's image, we too were made for work. Here is the garden God told Adam and Eve, now cultivate it. Now, of course, none of us here need to be told that time is made for work. We work by necessity because if we don't work, we don't eat. Even if you're retired now, you remember those days. Of course, time is made for work. But what is also true, and I think what is easy to forget, or maybe you've never heard this, work is not just a necessity. Work is a way that we honor God. We live out part of our Christian discipleship in how we fulfill our vocation as parent or grandparent or spouse, as garbage collector, accountant, student, public servant, bus driver, school teacher, engineer, hospital volunteer. So how is it that we honor God when we work? Well, we please God, first of all, when we work to provide for ourselves and for our loved ones and for people in the community who are in need. In Thessalonians, we hear that there were Christians in Paul's day who were refusing to work. They weren't doing any work at all. And Paul said, if you don't work, you should not eat. And he said that these Christians were worse than unbelievers for neglecting to care for their families. Now, I want to be clear that Paul was not talking about, remember this is the first century, he was not talking about retirees. He was not talking about those who are facing joblessness and can't find work, or those who, because of health problems, are unable to work. And also, again, remember this is the first century, workers he would also include stay-at-home mothers or stay-at-home dads or people who are our caregivers. So, with that caveat, what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that nobody who is able to work should refuse work because working to provide sustenance is an honorable way for us as human beings to use our time. We also please God when we mirror God's purpose for work, which is bringing order out of chaos. It's an interesting way of looking at what work is for. Work is to bring order out of chaos. That's what God did in creation, right? Took chaos and brought order and beauty to the world. And that's what we do as well in small ways when we work. So think of a farmer. A farmer working in the garden, ripping up weeds, is bringing order to the land so that crops can flourish in the soil of that land. A stock clerk working in a grocery store, when she goes and she checks to make sure the Cheerios are with the Cheerios and the Weetabix are with the Weetabix, she is bringing order to chaos. And she, in tidying produce, she is helping to reduce waste. A parent takes the messy potential of their child. You know, it's delightful, right? But it's also chaos with little kids. And through love and discipline and structure, brings order into that child's life. so that they can flourish and grow and become all God made them to be. A teenager sorts laundry and vacuums the house. This is aspirational. Creating a pleasant environment in which to live. An accountant pours over numbers and uses her creativity to be a good steward of the resources that the business has. So think about your own work, or think about the work that you did before you retired. Can you think of ways that you, in your work, help to bring order out of chaos? We please God when we use our time to fulfill God's purposes for us in working, to provide sustenance for us and for our loved ones, and to mirror God's way in bringing order out of chaos. So I actually do think there are some jobs that do not mirror God's good purposes. This is a very simple example. I do not think a pimp's work mirrors God's work of bringing order out of chaos. Yes, the work of a pimp or a drug pusher, it provides sustenance, but it brings chaos into the lives of others. So do you see how it works both ways? That would be an example of creating chaos. And so that kind of work is not according to God's purposes. But those jobs are exceptional. I also think we please God in our work by the manner in which we conduct ourselves. Many years ago, when I was in my early 20s, I was working as a temp for a government agency. Ottawa's my hometown. And so I was working as a secretary. And most of the people there knew I was a Christian because I had just come back from Africa where I'd been working as a missionary. And when they asked what I was going to do afterwards, I said, well, I'm saving to go to seminary. So they figured out I was a Christian. As a result, I wanted to make sure that I worked well and hard and set like a good witness for my faith. There was another Christian in the office. He was one of my many bosses in middle management. He was also very open about his faith. Everyone knew he was a Christian. The problem was, he was a terrible employee. It was really busy. We were all working very hard. And this guy, I'd go into his office, and everyone would find him. He would be there with his Bible open, and he'd be preparing for Bible study that night. He was resented because he wasn't pulling his weight. Scripture tells us that when it's time to work, we work. And when we work, we do the work that we were given to do, and we do it as to the Lord. That's the scriptural expression, but basically, do it as though God is your direct boss. In a passage in Ephesians, Paul talks about how Christians are to behave when they're out in the world working and relating to other people. And he says, believers should be honest and gracious in their work. They're to be diligent. And as Christians, we're to guard our tongues. So he talks about not gossiping, not raging, not tearing people down. I love how in Genesis, it talks about the word and how God uses the word to create beauty and order, to breathe life through his word. So we please God simply by working, and we please God by the manner in which we work. And we please God by working at the job that is ours to do. I remember when I was going forward for ordination, a lot of people said to me, oh, Stephanie, it must be wonderful to be working full time for the Lord. And I remember saying, at the time, I felt real freedom. I could also have worked as a teacher for the Lord, something I was considering. I also could have worked as a journalist for the Lord, another profession I was considering. There is, in God's eyes, no separation between sacred and secular when it comes to work. St. Paul in Colossians said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for people. So in this sense, every job has the potential to be God-pleasing, You don't have to be developing a cure for cancer or working in the slums of Calcutta to have, for your work, to have eternal value in God's sight. C.S. Lewis once said, "The work of Beethoven and the work of a cleaning lady become spiritual on precisely the same condition, that of work being offered to God, that of work being done humbly as to the Lord." I think that's true, and it's important for all of us to hear that. God is looking for faithfulness from each one of us. The only way we can show our faithfulness is in human time, and it's in living our ordinary lives, including our working lives. It's not about having the right job, it's doing the job that you have right, and doing it as to the Lord. Now, in all these things, you might think I'm a misty-eyed romantic about work. I'm not. I've had lots of jobs. I've not just worked in the church, I've worked outside the church. And I know that work can be boring sometimes. I know that there are bad bosses. And I know that there can be toxic work environments. And I just want to, as an aside, this is a little bit off to the side, but if you're in a position to create of power and can create healthy work environments, respect the dignity of the worker in providing a living wage and a healthy work environment. There are too many demands in many of our jobs, so much pressure. And there are frustrations that are big and small. Copiers break down at the worst moment. You're called into a pointless meeting and you miss your bus. Your client won't pay their bills. Some of us are blessed to have work that is fulfilling, and some of us are not. Scripture tells us that because of sin, work is not always going to be satisfying. It's not always going to be what God intended it to be. So as Christians, how do we handle our jobs when it's kind of awful, when it's really hard to go to work? One suggestion I've heard is to view our places of work as God's training ground for character. Look at it as an opportunity for spiritual growth. You know, it's easy to be patient when you're waiting for supper and you're sitting out in the sun with a glass of wine. It is much harder to be patient, and it really helps you grow in patience when you're dealing with an unreasonable and unnecessarily rude customer at the other line, at the end of the other line. It's easy to be gracious to a friend who cancels a get-together. It's a lot harder to be gracious when you're dealing with necessary budget cuts and you're trying to figure out how to juggle it all. Instead of raging at your work problems, and I'm not saying not to look for other works. I think there are environments that are so toxic that the right thing to do is to find other work. But sometimes you don't have a choice, right? Sometimes you're kind of trapped. When you are in a difficult work situation, try asking yourself, what is God asking of me in this situation? How is God asking me to grow in this challenging circumstance? Another suggestion I've heard for handling frustrating work environments is to think of yourself not so much as a worker, but as a helper. So part of your goal each day in your work is to finish that day making a positive difference in one person's life. It might be a colleague, it might be someone you're working for, customers, and so on. I want to tell you the story of Sarah, not her real name, but she had been an entrepreneur. She had her own business. It was selling cards when that was still a really big thing. And she loved it. She loved it. But eventually the markets changed and her business collapsed. And she found herself needing a job so she could eat, and she took a position as a clerk in a pharmacy. And for the first 6 months, she was really depressed. She was probably slightly clinically depressed. She did not like her job. It was not her dream job, and she was wrestling with a sense of failure from the end of her business. But over time, she began to look at her work differently. She began asking what God might want her to contribute to this pharmacy world that she was in. And she noticed that one of the things that was different about her than the others is that people really liked to talk to her. So the homeless person who came off the street to get warm, because the pharmacy was warm, he would talk to her. And the businessman who was looking for lozenges so he could get through the business meeting, he would talk to her. And the elderly lady who was there to get her blood pressure tested in that cuff, she would talk to her. And so she began using those opportunities to bless those people with a word of kindness, a word of concern, a word of encouragement. And Sarah is still working. She's moved up in that same pharmacy, but she still thinks of herself as a helper. And in this way, she has been able to rediscover meaning in her work. It's interesting that when Jesus came into our world, and I'm jumping down here, Mike, sorry, he came as a worker. Even though Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he came as a worker. He worked as a carpenter and a teacher and a healer. He even cooked meals. Remember, he made fish for the other disciples? He was always keen to help others in their work. If it wasn't already clear from the work of God the Father, Jesus the Son dignified our work again. And I actually just want to point out that stained glass. I've never seen in any church a stained glass window dedicated to workers. Do you see at the top, there's a car? This is a GM town, right? An industry. So St. Joseph is the patron saint of workers, right? So we have it right there in our church, the witness that God blesses this use of time when we work as workers. So if you're a worker here this morning, I have a question for you. Is there any way that you feel God is asking you to think differently about your job? Or is there any way that you think God is challenging you to work differently in your place of work? If you're here this morning as someone who is longing for work for any reason, what supports do you have, and what supports do you need to help you through this time and to find meaning as you wait to find paid employment? And if you're here this morning as a retiree, in what ways does a Christian vision of work bring blessing into your life? You probably got a farewell and a gift card or something when you left your place of work. But as you think about this idea that you're honoring God through your work, what blessing does this bring to your life as you reflect on your years of work in the home or in the workplace? There's a time for work. That's one of the things Scripture tells us. Work is one of God's good purposes for human time. And while working is not always easy, when we work as though to the Lord, then we please God. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to enter into human time, and so that we have in your Son a perfect example of what it means for us as humans to use our time well. And we thank you for Jesus' example as a worker. Father, we pray for those in our midst who are seeking work, or for those who are struggling with health that prevents them from work. We pray for their provision. I give thanks for the faithful witness of the many people in our congregation who throughout their lives faithfully did the work that was theirs as though it was for you. Help all of us who are still in our working years, for those of us who continue with responsibilities in the home, to find ways to serve you faithfully, seeing our work as part of our discipleship to you. For all of us, we pray, help us to be people who bring order to your world, order to our family, order to our friendships, to our neighborhoods, and order to the city of Ottawa, Oshawa, we pray. And we ask all these things with hope. In Jesus' name, amen.